Now let's continue on and learn more about what the kingdom of God is going to be like. And after all, we find a lot of this right in the Gospels, because it is what? The gospel of the kingdom of God. Now let's continue on. Let's come here to Luke 22. And the question always becomes, Lord, what shall I do? And then you hear the other extreme of it. Well, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. So, you know, I'll just be a doorkeeper. Well, let me tell you something. That's not right either. There aren't going to be a million doorkeepers in the kingdom of heaven. That's just an expression that it's better to be with God, regardless of the circumstances, than to be with the wicked with all that they have and the trouble that comes with them. All right? However, the disciples were wondering, because they had a pretty good understanding after hearing about the gospel of the kingdom of God with Jesus preaching, a pretty good understanding of that it's going to be literal, it's going to be on the earth. Now, this occurred right during the Passover, of all places. So, you know, that last Passover was quite a Passover indeed. All right, let's pick it up here in verse 24. And there was also an argument among them, even this, which of them should be considered the greatest? Everyone wants to be the greatest. Well, we'll see what Jesus says. And he said to them, the kings of the nations lord over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. Oh, yes, we do this for the greater good. Have you heard that? Oh, yes, my. But it shall not be this way among you. Rather, let the one who is greatest among you be as the younger, and the one who is leading as the one who is serving. For who is greater? The one who is sitting at the table or the one who is serving? Is not the one who is sitting at the table? But I am among you as one who is serving. Look at how Jesus looked at it. Look how he viewed it, you see. That's the way we need to view it all. None of us are going to be anything great in this life. That's not the greatness that we need to seek. And we're not going to be arguing as to who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of God, because it's going to be God the Father, Jesus Christ, and all the patriarchs and all of that sort of thing. And we're going to see that we're going to fit in. And we will see how that is explained. Now notice what he said after that then. Verse 28. Now you are the ones who have continued with me in my temptations, and I appoint to you as my Father has appointed to me a kingdom. So they're all going to have high positions, right? Yes. So that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and that's going to be the whole world, and may sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Now that should have been enough to satisfy them, okay? Let's come back here to the book of Matthew now. Let's come to Matthew 20. Matthew 20. And let's look at this here. Now here in Matthew 20, we will begin in verse 1. So let's read it here. Now we're going to see how this will also apply to us. Now verse 1, the kingdom of heaven, there it is again. Now why don't you do this? Just do a study concordance or a computer search in the book of Matthew and look up the word kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, and you will see that's the basic whole beginning and the outline on which all the book of Matthew hangs. Now here's another parable. Compared to a man, master of a house, who went out early in the morning to hire workmen for his vineyard. Now remember what we covered. The vineyard is what? It is the church. The vineyard in the Old Testament was Israel, and all they produced was wild grapes, worthless of anything, you see. Verse 2, and after agreeing with the workmen on a silver coin for a day's wage, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in a marketplace, and he said to them, go also into my vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. Well, that sounds fair enough. They weren't working, so anything that they would get would be better than nothing, right? And they went. And again, after going out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did likewise. Just said, what is right, I'll pay you. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? And they said to him, because no one has hired us. And he said, go also into my vineyard, and whatever is right, you shall receive. This sounded like a fair deal. All right? This is a parable of eternal life given to all. Now let's see what happened here. Verse 8. And when evening came, the Lord of the vineyard said to his steward, call the workmen and pay them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. Now, isn't that interesting? Now, let's look who are the last ones who were saved that we know of in the book of Revelation. Who are they? The 144,000 of the children of Israel and the great innumerable multitude. Now, in the book of Revelation, they represent the ones who are hired, compared to the parable here in the 11th hour. Now, what are they going to receive? And we're going to see something here. God is always fair, but what fairness looks to us in our eyes may not be the fairness that God sees. So let's read on. And when those who were hired about the 11th hour came, each received a silver coin. And when the first ones came, they thought they would receive more, but each one also received a silver coin. And after receiving it, they complained against the master of the house, saying, these who have come last work 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have carried the burden and the heat of the day. Now notice Jesus' answer. And he answered and said to them, friend, I'm not doing you wrong. Did you not agree with me for a silver coin for a day? Didn't they? Yes, indeed. Didn't you say, oh, Lord, eternal life, please save me? Now, when you're resurrected, you're not going to stand there and watch as the rewards are handed out and stand there on the sea of glass and say, Lord, you know, I was at this longer than them. It's not going to work. See? Listen, understand this. Jesus said that among men, John was the greatest prophet of all, and he did no miracle. And what did he say about John? And the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. So you see, we need to look at it through the eyes of the Word of God, with the Spirit of God, and not through our perception as to what is fair, especially living in this world. Fairness and anti-discrimination have been all twisted out of proportion so that now they are passing laws to marry, allowing homosexuals to marry. And let me tell you one thing about lawlessness, just a sidebar here. Once sin is enacted into law, then lawlessness will multiply and reign. And all of that was done under the guise of fairness and non-discrimination, right? So what is fair to God is always going to be fair, regardless of what some people may think. Now let's continue on. Verse 14. Take what is yours and go, for I also desire to give to the last one ones exactly as I gave to you. And is it not lawful for me to do what I will with that which is my own? Is your eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. Many are called, but few are chosen. So there you have it. God is going to decide based upon our hearts. And we will all be happy with what God is going to give us. All right? Let's come over here to Matthew 25. Now let's focus in on the part that we need to be doing. Okay? Now, right here in Matthew 25, there are three parables concerning the kingdom of heaven. Now we'll look at them, and we'll see how to apply those in our lives. And let's understand this. The Word of God is our guide. The Holy Spirit is to lead us. And we need to love God with all our hearts, mind, and soul, and being. And don't you think because of that, God is going to bless us and reward us according to the best that is for us? Yes. Matthew 25 and verse 1. Now here's the parable of the 10 virgins. You know, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. Verse 3. The ones who were foolish took their lamps, but they did not take oil with them. They did not have a supply of God's Holy Spirit with them. The lamp is what is to shine to light the way. Now, the lamps that they had, you could hold in their hand. They were like a large seashell with a little lip on the side, which they put a wick down into the oil that was in the shallow little lamp, and they lit the wick, and the wick would draw the oil up to feed the flame so it would burn and give light. Now, the Holy Spirit would not last long, just like the oil would not last long. The Holy Spirit does not last long in a person if they don't exercise it and go to God in prayer and study and to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you see, and to have that supplied every day. Now notice, verse 4, the wise took oil in their vessels along with their lamps. Now when the bridegroom was gone a long time, they all became drowsy and slept. Now that verse there, verse 6, verse 5 rather, being drowsy and slept means that we all have our troubles and difficulties, we all have our ups and downs, but the question is, how do we handle them? How far do we let things slide? How far do we put things off? Now, I suppose you could say someone who the only thing they do is come to church on the Sabbath and the rest of the week they live more or less like the world. Well, are they growing and overcoming? Are they using the Holy Spirit of God? Well, God has to determine that, you see. That's not a judgment for us to make concerning other people, but that is a judgment we are to make concerning ourselves, because all of us want to be in the kingdom of God. Otherwise, we wouldn't be keeping the Feast of Tabernacles, would we? All right, let's go on. Verse 6, about the middle of the night, there was a cry, "Look, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." Now, there are many other things you can add to it, which I can't bring out at this time, but Christ and the events leading up to Christ coming are going to be suddenly on the scene. Now, when the beast is finally put in, is that when you're going to wake up and get ready? Or should we not be ready before these end-time events come to fruition so that when they do happen, we'll be ready? Now, here's what happened, verse 8. The foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil. Now, here is the truth. You cannot give someone of your Holy Spirit. You cannot give someone of your understanding. You cannot give someone what you have studied. See? That's why there has to be study and prayer. And how many times have we heard it during our life? And yet how many times are these things put off and we don't do them? All right, let's go on. Now, we don't want this to happen to us, do we? So the wise answered, "No, lest there not be enough for us and for you, but instead go to those who sell and buy for yourselves." So here's a last-minute rush to do something. Oh boy, Jesus is coming. Okay. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. So you see, we need to take this to heart, too. so that we don't become like the five foolish virgins, see? And you can compare those to the Laodiceans who don't repent. All right. And afterwards, the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said to them, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Now, we don't want those words spoken to us, do we? So what should we do? Do all the things that we know we need to do and what the Bible tells us to do, to grow in grace and knowledge, to grow in love and understanding, to grow in faith, to have that hope always before us, to be focused on the kingdom of God every single day. Now let's read what he said here. Verse 13, he says, watch. Now this, in this case, watch yourself, not world news. You have to watch world news and watch the events that are going on. But in this case, it is watch yourself. Monitor yourself. Discipline yourself, okay? For you do not know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Then the next parable here, we won't go into it because we have other things we need to cover, but here's the one, the talents. The five talents, the two talents, the one talent. The same thing. The five talents went out and worked, traded, increased, and made ten. And he was told, well done, good and faithful servant, you be over five cities. Likewise, the one with two. And he brought the two and said, look, Lord, it's gained two all besides what you gave me. Says, well done, good and faithful servant. Now, the truth is this. We all have to be stewards. Now, taking care of the Lord's money was being a steward of the Lord's money. Now, we are stewards of the Holy Spirit. We are stewards of the Word of God. And a steward is one who takes care of someone else's property for the owner's benefit. And they receive a wage for doing it. But notice the one that was afraid. Now, is God a God of love? Does Christ love us? Does God the Father love us? Yes, indeed. But here's one who says, oh, I know you are harsh. That you demand things to be given to you where you didn't sow. And you want to harvest where you didn't straw. So I did the best thing I could do. I went and hid it in the ground, wrapped it up in a napkin, put it under the earth. And with your coming, I dug it up, and here it is, Lord. And what did Jesus say? Why didn't you at least put it in the bank so I could have had interest at my return? And took the talent from him and gave it to the one who had five. All right? A warning we need to learn. Now, come here to verse 31, Matthew 25. Now, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he shall sit upon the throne of glory, and he shall gather before him all nations. Now, this is down through the whole millennium here, okay? But it also applies to us now. He shall separate them, one from another, as a shepherd separates sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep at his right hand, but the goats at his left. And then the king shall say to those at his right hand, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Because as we are going to see, the fourth part of everything is not only personal salvation, the kingdom of God, growing in grace and knowledge, but it is number four, the knowledge of the plan of God that he has revealed to us. Now, we saw that yesterday back there in Matthew the 13th chapter. All right? Then you know what it was. This is showing a lack of brotherly love and a lack of love of neighbor. Now, what did Jesus say concerning how people were going to identify us as those who belong to him? That we have love for one another. That's what we need to do. Now, yes, people are going to have their faults, and people are going to have their difficulties, and you are going to see them. So what are you going to do? Judge them or pray for them? Condemn them or help them? What is it? See, that's all a part of the difference between the sheep and the goats. All right. Now let's come to Ephesians, the first chapter, and let's see what Paul has given to us concerning the plan of God and that final prayer of Paul, because this is one of the greatest and most important chapters in all the Bible, Ephesians, the first chapter. And this tells us how God deals with us. This tells us how God has revealed his plan to us. And this tells us how we're to have our minds open to understand the truth and love and knowledge of God. And this is all important with our focus on the kingdom of God, our focus on ruling with Christ, our focus on being chosen by God to receive the inheritance from Christ, and the whole world is waiting for us to rescue it through Jesus Christ. Now let's come to Ephesians, the first chapter. Now in Ephesians, the first chapter, we're going to let this chapter wrap everything all up concerning the kingdom of God. Now there are many, many, many more scriptures throughout the entirety of the New Testament concerning the kingdom of God. Now, I'll leave that up to you for personal study during the year after the Feast of Tabernacles is over. But, brethren, keep our minds focused on that. All right? Now, notice, let's start right with verse 1 so that we understand that the Apostle Paul was instrumental in showing the greatness of the kingdom of God and what God is doing with us. Verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God to the saints who are in Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. That's why it's here. Not only to those in Ephesus, but to all the churches through all time. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's what it needs to be with us. We are standing in the grace. We receive the grace of God. And the gospel is also called the gospel of grace because we have this close, intimate relationship with God, with the Spirit of God, through prayer and study that has not been available to people in any manner as it is right now this day. Now, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly things with Christ. Look at all the spiritual blessings that God has given us. Fantastic, isn't it, brother? Yes, and we need to multiply those. We need to increase those. Now, that's the whole purpose of our lives and where we're going. According as he has personally chosen us for himself. Now, I want you to mark that, you see. God the Father is personally involved in your life. Jesus Christ is personally involved in your life. Because it's both of them here, right? Yes. And we've been chosen by God the Father personally for himself. Now, God had his plan before the foundation of the world. And he destined that there would be those he would choose, which those of us that have the Holy Spirit today, we are the ones. And likewise, down through history. Before the foundation of the world, and Christ was slain from the foundation of the world, God had his plan from the foundation of the world, even before that. Okay? Now here is the goal that God has. Are we willingly yielding to God so that God's goal can be worked out in our lives? So that we can rule and reign with Christ? So we can be with God the Father and Jesus Christ in New Jerusalem? All right? In order that we might be holy and blameless before him in love. Now that's quite a thing, isn't it? Though it comes by grace, though it comes by God's Spirit, he has made us and created us to receive his Holy Spirit and has given it to us so that we can yield to him, so that we have our part in fulfilling this. having predestinated us for sonship to himself through Jesus Christ according to the good pleasure of his own will. Now notice, read those words. God has personally done it, that we be holy and blameless, predestined us for sonship according to the good pleasure of his own will. That's God's will for us, to be the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us objects of his grace in the beloved Son. Isn't that something? The angels are going to praise him for what he's doing. The 24 elders are going to praise him for what he is doing. The people who come into the kingdom of God during the millennium are going to praise us for what God is doing. Now think of that. Think of the exalted position that God has put us in, which is really very humbling indeed, isn't it? Yes. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the remission of sins, according to the riches of his grace. And we stand in that grace like we stand under an umbrella from which we receive what? The love of God, the power of God, the forgiveness, the mercy, the hope, the faith, which he has made to abound toward us. Not just a little sprinkling of dust upon us, but to abound toward us in all wisdom and intelligence, having made known to us the mystery of his will. The world doesn't understand that secret. The secret of God. Through his word and his spirit, he's sharing that with you. And he says, I want you to be a part of this. Will you love me and be faithful? Will you serve me and do what is right? Will you believe me and trust in my hope? Will you love me with all your heart and mind and soul and being? See? Now notice, the mystery of his own will, according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in himself. That in the divine plan for the fulfilling of the times, he might bring all things together in Christ, both the things in the heavens and the things upon the earth. Yes, in him, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to his purpose, who is working out all things according to the counsel of his will. And isn't that a fantastic thing, brethren? That we are part of what God is doing, and he has personally selected us, personally called us, personally granted us repentance, personally given us of his Holy Spirit, personally has opened our minds and given us this knowledge. Isn't that something? That we might be the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Then he talks about the Holy Spirit, which we receive after we believe and are baptized. Verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. And we can trust in this. We're a whole lot closer to the coming of Christ and the kingdom of God than when we first believed, don't you think? And yes, and it hasn't worked out the way that a lot of people have thought, but it's going to work out the way that God intends. Now let's notice, which is the earnest of our inheritance. Now verse 15, for this cause I also, after hearing of the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ that is among you and the love toward all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Now, brethren, I know you pray for me every day, and I appreciate that. And know that I can't do what I can do unless you're praying for me. Likewise, I pray for you, as do all the other brethren, as do all the other elders. We pray for you daily, that God will help you, that God will heal you, that God will be with you, that you will be faithful, that you will love one another, that you will love God. See? Especially while we have time, while it is called today. All right? Now notice, here's Paul's prayer. This is fantastic. Verse 17. that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And may the eyes of your mind be enlightened. That is to understand and see with such vivid perception with your mind and the word of God, in order that you may comprehend what is the hope of his calling, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He wants you to know. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the inner working of his mighty power. Oh, isn't that something? That's the whole purpose of your calling and the Feast of Tabernacles. And remember this, it is the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. To get there, you need personal salvation, rescuing from Satan the devil, growing and overcoming, loving God with zeal and earnestness. And you have a guarantee. You will be in the kingdom of God and rule with Jesus Christ and the saints. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.